ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. സോ വട്ട് ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ, then what difference how Krishna operates in this world while he was here, what makes that difference is that there is no ownership in doing anything, isn't it? Krishna's activities, if you observe, you will see right from the appearance day right up to the point when he went back from the disappeared from this world, when he went back to his spiritual abode, Krishna's activities, if you observe carefully, you will see that there was no I am the doer. Kartrutvam was never there in Krishna. Kartrutvam was never there in Krishna. And that is why, remember that verse, Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana. Remember that famous verse. People read that verse, but they don't know what they are saying. Why Krishna is saying like this? Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana. Yesterday we looked at that. It's verse number Name Parthastu Kartavyam. Krishna says Name Parthastu Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana. And നമേ പാർത്ഥാസ്തി കർത്തവ്യം ത്രിഷു ലോകേഷു കിഞ്ചന നാനവാപ്തമവാപ്തവ്യം വർത്തയേവ ച കർമ്മണി. നമേ പാർത്ഥാസ്തി കർത്തവ്യം ത്രിഷു ലോകേഷു കിഞ്ചന. ഓ സൺ ഓഫ് പാർത്ഥ, ദർ ഈസ് നോ വർക്ക് പ്രിസ്ക്രൈബ്ഡ് ഫോർ മീ വിത്തിൻ ഓൾ ദ ത്രീ പ്ലാനറ്ററി സിസ്റ്റംസ്. ദർ ഈസ് നോ വർക്ക് ഫോർ മീ, ഐ ഹാവ് നോ വർക്ക് ടു ഡു, അൺഎംപ്ലോയ്ഡ് ആസ് വെൽ ആസ് വി ആർ കൺസേൺഡ്. No work, totally unemployed. Krishna says, Nanavaptam avaptavyam. Nor I am in want of anything. He says, Krishna says, I am willing to work without any salary even. Nor have I need to obtain anything. Krishna says, I don't want any salary. But still, yet I am engaged in work. See how, what an important verse that is. Krishna is saying there, this is how one should work. People will read that and they'll think that, oh, Krishna can do that, I can't afford it. That will be the answer, generally, isn't it? So what is important is, from a spiritual point of view, that consciousness is important. That is how you gloss over the issue, problems. That we saw that before, that in that verse, Krishna says there, Kalosmi loga kshegar pravardha logan samahartu. Verse 32. Kalosmi loga kshegar pravardha logan samahartu miha pravartaha hrdeya vitvanna bhavishyanti sarve yo avastida pratyanigeshu yodhaha tasmatvam uttishtayesho labhasva jitva shatru anbhungshara ajyam samardham. Chapter 11, verse 32. Jitva shatru anbhungshara ajyam samardham mayaivede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. That nihida purvamevam, that is the verse. You have to look at that. Nihida purvamevam means in the purvam, in the olden times, this is how they operated. How? Like this. Krishna is saying here. Mayaivede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. Addressing Arjuna as Savyasachin, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, you have to operate it in this way. Mahivedam nihida purvamevam. In the purvam times, in the earlier times, people have operated. And if you operate in that way, what will happen? That happiness will come from that work. Happiness will come from that work. Happiness, anandam will come from that, even while working. And you can continue to work in this world in that way. He's saying to Arjuna this. The principle of karma, how to operate in this world without getting affected by karma. We talked about it yesterday, isn't it? And the same thing what we are discussing in the Bhagavatam also, that karma is the most powerful factor in this world which is controlling us. You can't ignore it. You can't keep saying that mercy will come from you, mercy will come from everywhere, and mercy will take care of everything. Mercy is there. Mercy is there for who is following the rule. For him there is mercy. But one who has completely rejected all the rules and regulations, saying, I am waiting for the mercy, where will mercy will come? Mercy is not going to come like that. Mercy comes from one who has taken Krishna's word seriously. And one who is accepting what Krishna is saying. We are not even willing to accept what Krishna is saying. We are questioning everything. He is saying, so it's Kaligalam, Bhagavad, then why study Bhagavad Gita then, if it's Kaligalam? If you say, this is Kali, why study Bhagavad Gita? What's going to get from there? So that's not how it works. What Krishna is saying here is that Arjuna, in this state of consciousness, it is important that the Krishna has spoken about this. Even to Arjuna, Krishna is saying here, even after talking about Karma Yogam 6 chapters before, even in this 11th chapter, he is saying, Tasmatvam uttishtaye shoyilabhasva. If you want fame, I'm giving an opportunity, you can have it now. Tasmat uttishta. Therefore get up, he says. Jitva shatrum bhungshirajam samardham. Kill your enemies now. They're already killed, but you can shoot the arrow and people will say that you have killed them. That's all. Bhungshirajam samardham. And you can enjoy that kingdom as much as you like. Mayaivede nihida purvamevam. Do it for me. Keeping me focused on me, do that. Because that's what is expected of you in my position. Krishna's position, that is what is expected from Arjuna. Mayaivede nihida purvamevam. Nihida purvamevam means that is how it was done in the past by the great sages. Great, great personalities, they have done like that. Nimittam atram. You are only just a nimittam. Nimittam means you are there just as a tool. To be finally, who put the stamps on the envelope at the end before posting it. You are just that stamp at the end. That's all. Nimitta matram bhava savyasajin. Oh, savyasaji. Savyasaji means one who can shoot the arrow with both the hands. Arjuna was very expert at that. Arjuna was so clever that he could shoot the arrow from the right hand and with the left hand and still be equally good. Most of us are either one-handed, isn't it? Either left-handed or right-handed. But Arjuna had this specific capacity to shoot the arrow with both the hands. Therefore, he was called as Savyasachi. Savyasachi was called. So, here, you can see here, Krishna is saying here, If you work, operate in that way, that means without kartrutvam, without bhoktrutvam, without ragam, without dvesham, karma yoga, process of karma yoga Krishna is talking about. If it is executed like that, you can work as long as you want in this world, and that will only generate more and more happiness inside. More and more. When we work with a selfish objective, all the time for me, in that consciousness, it will only create more and more distress at the end. This is the principle, underlying principle behind it. But that execution of work should be based on the knowledge of the soul. Otherwise, it's no good. Simply doing, there are so many people working in this world also in charity and all kinds of things, isn't it? For the benefit of the society, social work and things like that. But that is in one level is okay. But what Krishna is saying is, if you want to advance spiritually, this service or work what you do should also be done with the knowledge of the soul. The knowledge of the soul. Many people who are performing charitable work in this world, they have no knowledge of the soul. So therefore, their charitable work results in what? It becomes a pious activity. And that means they'll get the results of the pious activity, but there will be no spiritual advancement. What Krishna is saying here is that if you execute activity as in the form of pattern of karma yoga, what Krishna has spoken before, with the knowledge of the soul associated with that, then it will make you progress in the path of spiritual life. Otherwise it won't happen. So that is what Krishna is saying here. And while they are working like that in this world, they are already resting. They are already resting. They are not working actually, they are resting. That is why Krishna mentions there that it is from that. That another verse, karmanya karmaye pashyed akarmanija karmaya sa buddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmakrit. That verse has come. Remember that? That verse is also sometimes it's a verse which always people get a little bit karmanya karmaye pashyed. Verse number 418. If you look at 418, you will see there that verse everybody reads, isn't it? And then they ask, what does it all mean? That verse. How many people have asked the same question? One who sees inaction in action, action in inaction, is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So this is what that means. Karmanya karmaye pashyed akarmanija karmaya sa buddhiman manushyeshu sayuta krishna karmakrit. So what is this action in action? We talked about this when we discussed that chapter a lot, transcendental knowledge chapter 4. We talked about that. So Krishna is also saying the same thing here, that the if you have to while executing karma, you have to be conscious that there is no karma. There is no karma. There is no karma at all. Karma, the word karma, you have to know what it means first. Karma means any movement. That's called karma. Any movement. Not physical movement. Movement means, suppose anything that makes a change inside you, inside your mind, that's a karma. While, say, you're sitting quietly somewhere and some thought has developed due to interaction with some modes of nature or with any sense objects, immediately the process of karma has begun. Most of us understand karma means if I do something physically, it becomes karma. No, karma has already started. The process has already started. As soon as the senses in contact with any sense objects, immediately the sense object has created a movement inside the mind. Some thoughts, action is already, that's the very beginning of the action. That is that chalanam. That is what Krishna says here. If you look in the 8th chapter, Krishna mentions that. Buddha bhavodgharo, 8th chapter. If you look into verse 3, what is karma means? Look at that. That's important because when we misunderstand karma, because generally we develop some understanding, karma, oh, I've done a lot of karma, Prabhu, we'll say like that. But karma we have been doing all the time, and it has not started today. It's been going on. And all these karma vasana, what is? Shri Bhagavan Uvajam, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, chapter 8, verse 3. Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Subhavo Adhyatmam Uchyade, Buddha Bhavodgarakaro, Visarga Karma Samnidaham. So, Buddha Bhavodbhavakaro, Visarga Karma Samnidaham. Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Subhavo Adhyatmam Uchyade, Buddha Bhavodbhavakaro, Visarga Karma Samnidaham. Krishna says here, action pertaining to the development of these material bodies is called karma. Do you know what that means? Action pertaining to the development of these material bodies is called karma. That means when we have a material body, anything that is related to the action from that body, the power behind that, which is the vasana inside, if that is created inside, you are already in karma. Karma is not something when you do physically. Any action pertaining to the development, that word development, you have to take note of that. How that the action is developed, behind the action there is vasana inside, isn't it? See, I'm sitting here and suddenly suddenly it started raining heavily. I noticed the raining heavily. What will be the immediate reaction? Have I brought my umbrella with me? Karma has begun. I have not got up and I have not gone to the rain. But already I have become conscious of the action I have to perform later by holding the umbrella, for which whether I got the umbrella or not, I am checking now. In my bag, have I got the umbrella? So every action in this world is like that. Before you do the action, there's a lot of processing happens inside. Is it not? You start thinking about it and it creates a lot of ragadvesham inside, vasanas inside, all that is, and subsequently followed with the activity later. So Krishna is saying here, Buddha Bhavadgaro, karmam, karma samyam. Krishna is saying here, Krishna's definition of karmam is that. You see, that is Krishna's definition of karmam. What is that? Buddha Bhavod Bhava Karo Visargam Karma Samidam. Every word in Bhagavad Gita you will notice, somewhere else Krishna has given a definition for that word. Buddha Bhavod Bhava Karo Visargam Karma Samidam. Krishna says karmam is that thing which is creating that development of action in you, later on which develops as an action, in the physical action. So this is one example. Anything if you take in your life, you will see any action before you perform, a lot of processing goes on inside. Is it not? Processing goes on inside. And that is why karmam is connected with that. That vasana inside. So when you make the decision to perform a particular action, what is the factor that is influencing that strongly is the vasana inside. Is it not? Whatever vasana you have inside, accordingly, your action will follow. Your action will follow. That is why vasanas are important. You can't ignore them. Everything is, that is our subtle body. Basically, that's our subtle body. We call in different names, vasana, subtle body, mind, modes of nature. One and the same thing. It's all one and the same thing. But in different situations, we address it in different ways to make it a little bit more, to suit that particular condition. Krishna calls it in different names, isn't it? So, when the vasanas are strong in a person, those vasanas will force a person to act. Will force a person to act. So, Krishna says here that karma means, mainly, is visargam karma samyam. That means, he says here, that first movement which has happened, which resulted in the creation. Imagine that. It is from this movement of the vasana, movement of the Brahman inside, the movement happens and karmam began. Karmam's beginning is like that. So that mula chalanam means the primary movement from where karmam has begun. This karma has begun at a particular time, somewhere long, long ago. Then it continued after that, it is continuously flowing like this. So that movement, that pulse or whatever that is called, that is karma. And in soul, in the soul, there is no pulse like that. There is no pulse in the soul. This is why it is spoken as that when we try to understand karma and the body and the soul, we have to know the characteristics of each one of them. Body has its own characteristics, isn't it? Prahlada spoke that in the Bhagavadam. If you remember, in the seventh canto, Prahlada says, these are the qualities of the material body. Krishna says that in the seventh chapter in the Bhagavad Gita by calling it as aparaprakriti. Body is quality, body is nature. What is it? Five material elements. Mind, intelligence and false ego. All of that together, that means the gross body, mind, intelligence and false ego, everything together, Krishna calls it as aparaprakriti. Beyond than that, Krishna says that aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param, paraprakriti, which is jivabhudam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. Living entity is that paraprakriti, he says, which is not this body, not this mind, not this intelligence, not these material elements, none of them. Most of the time, this paraprakriti is absorbed in the aparaprakriti. Is it not? What are we doing? What we do now is that eyes are seeing, enjoying scenes, nose is smelling, ears are hearing, the senses are touch, sense of touch experiencing that, tongue is tasting. This is our world. Practically that's our world, isn't it? So, five material elements, five senses busy with the five material elements and sense objects. Mind, intelligence and false ego itself busy on its own way. Mind creates sankalpa vikalpam, creating a lot of options. Buddhi, intelligence, what does it do? It actually selects one from that, nishchayatmika buddhi. It makes a choice from something, whatever the mind has selected. And false ego creates pride and say that you are the doer. That's all. That's all it is. In simple terms, if you look at your own life, this is what it is. These eight things are busy with their own chakra. They keep you busy with that. They engage you in eight different things. Five senses through their five actions, with the five interacts with their five sense objects. Mind gives you a lot of options and thoughts and confuses you everything. Intelligence eventually tells you in its own way, it makes a choice from that. Ego tells you that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer. That's your life in this world, nothing more than that. Krishna says, all this is aparaprakriti. Superior to that, there is what you are actually, that is paraprakriti. That is your pure nature, paraprakriti. So, because the paraprakriti and aparaprakriti, if it is not separated, self-realization is not possible. That self-realization is not possible. That is why in paraprakriti there is no movement. All the movement happens in aparaprakriti. But wrongly we perceive that this movement is happening in the paraprakriti due to ajnanam. This is Krishna saying. Krishna is saying there is no movement in the soul. Soul has nothing to do with any of these things. These are characteristics of the aparaprakriti. But due to ajnanam inside, that is the ajnanam. What is ajnanam? Ajnanam is this. That all the karmam, what is karma means the movement, which is happening in the aparaprakriti, we falsely impose it on the paraprakriti. If that goes away, the separation is very clear between paraprakriti and aparaprakriti. A self-realized soul always knows all karmam is performed by the aparaprakriti. I know when you hear all these things, it remains simply theory at the moment. But if you keep hearing this, and if you give enough time for reflection on these things, one day, by Krishna's mercy, this realization will come. It's not that one, because this is how all the great jnanis have reached that state, in this process only, that they have taken many, many lifetimes it may take. Who knows how much time it will take. But the fact is, the process of self-realization, tattva-jnanam, which we'll see in the Bhagavad Gita from now on, Krishna is driving us in that direction to cultivate this understanding of the soul. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Everything, okay, we can depend on Krishna's mercy, because without mercy, nothing will happen at the end. But when Krishna sees that somebody is putting effort to understand what Krishna has taught us, he gets pleased with that. Naturally it is, isn't it? When Krishna feels, he sees that someone is trying very hard to understand Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, which has fascinated great, great personalities in this world by the power of that knowledge, that purity of that knowledge, that spirituality in there, in the words of Krishna. That is why all the great acharyas, what they pay their obeisances to Krishna for this. That purity of the knowledge of the self. Because it's not a knowledge based on the land of birth or based on the religion like any other religion. It is pure knowledge of the soul. And that is why it deserves its position in that way. It is respected in that way. So, when once we knows that, the soul, there is no movement, there is no karmam there, and when you know that, you are that, avabhodam, awareness, or consciousness inside, and to stay in that state, without moving away from that identity, and still able to execute any activity in this world with this body, which is always in the influence of the Avraprakriti. Body is Avraprakriti, isn't it? And Avraprakriti means it will do karmam in this world. Avraprakriti will be always busy with karmam. Body will do engage in karmam. So to be situated on the platform of the soul in Swarupam and still allowing the body to be busy with the Avraprakriti and engage in activities, Krishna says that is self-realization. From different angles, Krishna is explaining the state of consciousness of a person who is in the spiritual platform, is on the spiritual platform. So, that is why, in this verse you will see, tasmatvamuttishtaya shollabhasva jitva shantrun bhunksharajam samardham mayaivede nihidapurvamevam nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. See that two lines, last two lines. Mayai vede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Arjuna, you are addressing him as Savyasaji. Krishna says, Mayai vede nihida purvamevam. Engage in activity, completely surrendered unto that truth, this principle, and execute your activity with the body. Knowing very well who you are, execute your action. That is the important thing. Knowing very well who you are not Avraprakriti, you are Paraprakriti. Be situated in the Paraprakriti and engage the body in the Avraprakriti as it is meant to do. Nimittamatram bhava savyasachin, he says to Arjuna. So after saying this, he says here, on the one side, soul, which has no movement. On the other side, Krishna says here, on the other side, the body, which is always in the movement, which is always on the move, is it not? Body is always on the move, mind is always on the move, intelligence is always on the move, ego is always moving, soul is not moving any time, soul is constant, pure consciousness, unaffected by anything. That is why that seventh chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you study that, we talked about it, Jnana Vijnana Yogam it is called. What is Jnana Vijnanam? This is Jnana Vijnanam. That knowing the nature of the Paraprakriti, knowing the nature of the Avraprakriti. Krishna says here, after this, once you have reached that state, then there is no meditation required. There is no meditation required. Because if you got a grip of this knowledge, Krishna says here, that itself is self-realization. And whatever you do after that, with your body, with your mind, with your intelligence, everything, whatever you do at that point, that you will never forget who you are. That's what that word. Mayaivedin hidapurvamevam. Hidapurvamevam means that knowing who you are and doing the work. Now we don't know who we are. When we are doing the work, we are that work. We become that work. But knowing who you are and able to do the work in that way. Mayaivedin hidapurvamevam nimittamantram bhava savyasanchin. It's a great freedom when one operates in that state, in this world. It's a big freedom. All the great, great acharyas, they were doing this. They had done through their... They had nothing to do, but they constantly, they were busy all the time, engaged in Krishna's activities. And here, you will see... So, artificially, if you engage in meditation, this meditation is a very... misunderstood terminology. Meditation, actually you can't do it. It has to happen. You see? So practically what is going on now in the name of meditation is all cheating. It's all completely cheating. Meditation doesn't, you cannot do it because first of all, what does meditation mean? It's interesting because most of the people meditation. Some people say, if you perform meditation, you will become very good in decision making. Then, medical science is saying now, if you engage in meditation, your blood pressure will come down. It's there. Many, many top hospitals, they have started introducing this yoga and meditation into their scheme now, telling the people, if you engage in meditation, your blood pressure will come down. They say like that. Yeah? And some institutions, they have also caught on to that. There is money to be made there. So they also tell people, you come, we'll give you 1 hour course on meditation. 1 hour sit there, close your eyes and meditate on something. Some they'll tell you meditate on this light or that light or some kind of things like that. And you sit there and he'll come out and he's back to an old state. Nothing has changed. 1 hour he was in meditation. And they'll charge you some amount of money, whatever that is. Now, Krishna's point is, this you will get clear when we discuss the 13th chapter. There Krishna points out all the bluff going on in the name of meditation in this world. Krishna is saying there, dhyanam. Dhyanam is the word for meditation, isn't it? Dhyanam is not something that you can do on your own. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, Krishna says there. And any Bhagavad Gita if you take and you can look at it, you will see that verse is translated wrongly. It won't make any sense when you read it. I'll give you that verse number. That shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyade dhyanal karma bhalatyagam tyagal shandir anandaram. There is a verse in the, which chapter is it, 13th? Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. If you look at the index, you will see. You can see the problems, where it's coming from. If you don't think through it, you won't see the problem. If you simply accept everything what is written there like this, and say, I got it, you won't get it. Only if you ask a question, why did Krishna say like that? Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. You look at that verse. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Shreyohi. Verse number?
12.
Just a minute.
12.
Eh? 12. Yeah, 12, 12. Yes. 12, 12. It is in Bhakti Yoga Krishna is talking about that chapter. 12, 12. Yes. 12, 12. It is very confusing, that verse, if you look at that verse. Actually, it's very confusing. And it does, you need to think, why did he say like that? Why is it? Because it makes no sense if you read that verse. Read that verse. I'll read that. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyade dhyanal karma bhala tyagam tyaga chandiranandaram. Now, I'll tell you what the problem is. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Let us go line by line. Krishna says, if you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Yeah, that's fine. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Jnanam is better than activity. Engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of practice. Then he says, Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. Now, how will you understand that? Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. Say, for example, you can meditate on anything. Even a scientist is meditating on what he is meditating on. Would you say that he is better than a person who has got spiritual knowledge? How could it be? So how will it make sense when you read that, Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade? That is not what it means actually. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. In other words, dhyanam, if it is associated with jnanam, then it is best. That is what it means. That jnanad, the word, that causes that problem. Jnanal, but if you read the translation, better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. Now, this meditation is a word which is used now so freely in various levels by business people, by medical science, and by management people, and all of them. And every institution also say, you come for a meditation course, we'll give you a 10% discount or something like that. And somehow get people to do meditation. That's all useless, totally useless. Because any meditation, if it is done without jnanam in there, that is waste of time. That is what Krishna is saying there. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanam with jnanam is the best. That is the point Krishna is making there. So because Sanskrit language sometimes makes people a little bit confused about these things. That is why you have to go back and look into other commentaries as well, where how they understood, how they have explained it, because it has to make sense when Krishna says something. Earlier we saw the other verse also. You remember? When we talked about that, Chaturvidha Bhajandemam Jana Suhrdin Arjuna Artho Jityasu Arthati Jnanija Bharadarshava. The same problem there also. And there are like that in Bhagavad Gita many, many verses where it will not logically give you otherwise you can just accept it. Oh, that's it's written there, I'll take it like that. But that's one level, you can accept it that way. But the fact is, Dhyanam is only perfect if it is combined with Jnanam. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. The dhyanam with jnanam is the best. That's what Krishna is saying there. And dhyanal karma bhalatyagam tyaga chandir anandaram. That Krishna says there. So what I'm saying is that here again, buddha bhavod bhagararo visarga karma samyida. After saying that, Krishna is saying here that this, in order to create this knowledge in Arjuna, Krishna is saying to him, Arjuna, I come as the time personified. I am Kalosmi. Krishna says, I am time personified. Now, this war is going to happen. Mahabharata war is going to happen. And I have come to run this war, to manage this war. I have come to manage this war. And everybody knew that. Everybody knew that. Krishna has come to manage the war. To manage the war. Who knew this? Dhritarashtra also knew this. many people, you know, before this war happened, so many great personalities went to Dhritarashtra and told him, don't get involved in this war. It will be the end of the whole family and the race. Who all went to see him, you know? Vedavyasa Maharshi went to talk to him. Wouldn't listen. Dhaumya went there. Another great sage went to see him. Won't listen. Sanal Sujata Maharshi went to him. He had the best satsangam. Who? Our Dhritarashtra. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. He'll listen to all of them and will tell them. He had a very stereotyped answer for all of them. He'll give the same answer. Whether it is Vedavyas, whether it is Daumya, whether it is Sanal Sujata Maharshi, and what they told Dhritarashtra is in the Mahabharatam. Each one of them, what they told Dhritarashtra. You read that, you will see. After hearing all this, how come he got involved in the war? You have to see his answer, Dhritarashtra's answer. And that's more interesting than what others have said. So, here what happened was, so before war happened, as a last call, even Vidura tried. brother, isn't it? Younger brother, intelligent person, great devotee, Krishna's close friend. He thought that let me do some favor to my brother, even at this last minute, if I can change his mind. So he goes to Dhritarashtra and says to him, "My dear elder brother, please listen to me what I am saying." And he gave him a lot of logic and reasoning why he should not get involved in this war. This will bring the complete destruction. Nobody is going to win this war. He said, whole Kaurava race will be wiped out, and even the Yadavas and Pandavas, everything will be in terrible distress after this war. He said to him, so finally, Krishna gave one more last chance to who? To Dhritarashtra. This is what Krishna was in Mathura. Akrura has brought him there, and he sent Akrura to find out what's happening with Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi was living with Dhritarashtra at that time. So Akrura was asked to go there to see what was happening there. And he told Akrura, you tell him, Dhritarashtra, that I am ready for it. I am seriously considering about this option, war option, and convey this message to him that I have sent you there to inquire about the welfare of Kunti Devi and the children. I am very concerned about that. Convey this message to Dhritarashtra. Krishna says this to Akrura. Akrura got the message very well, because when he got there, Kunti Devi started complaining about the situation, how Duryodhana and others were masterminding to kill the Pandavas, and all kinds of what happening with other, all sorts of nonsense what was going on there. And eventually he got out, Dhritarashtra is the king. So Akrura had to wait to get the audience to the king. But when he got the audience, he started saying to Dhritarashtra, please take notice of this. Krishna is not very happy. Dhritarashtra says, I know. I know that he is not happy, he says. What can I do? I am also not happy, he says. You will get some people like that in this world. They will never listen. They will never do anything. They will say, yeah. It is like that. What can I do? They won't change anything. They will keep on saying the same thing. So he says here that, so Akrura goes to Dhritarashtra and talk to him about the soul. If you look into the Bhagavadam, Srimad Bhagavadam, in the 10th canto, there is a verse which is very famous because it was spoken by Dhritarashtra. It's coming from, this philosophy is coming from Dhritarashtra. That's why it's so interesting. He says to him that the, it's in the book. So it says to him that the, Yo Durvimarsha Dhritarashtra Vacha. We normally we don't say much Dhritarashtra Vacha, isn't it? We call him, he's a baddie. So but he's not a baddie. He knows what he's doing. Although people say he's blind, actually he's not blind. He can see long distance than what we can see. That you will see in Mahabharatam. Why I'm saying that is, when you remember our Satyabhama's father, Satrajit, was killed. Satyabhama, she's a Kshatriya girl, isn't it? Took the chariot straight away and drove to Hastinapur. Krishna was in Hastinapur. From Dwaraka to Hastinapur, Satyabhama drove the chariot and got there. Went and told Krishna, I want something to be done right now, said to Krishna. When Satyabhama says something, Krishna cannot. Krishna is very weak in front of Satyabhama. With Rukmini and others, they will cry and they will show a lot of, look for some mercy from Krishna. Satyabhama doesn't deal with Krishna like that. By very nature, Satyabhama is a very aggressive person. Aggressive reason also, there's also reason behind it. Krishna knows about that. So Satyabhama has a special relationship with Krishna compared to all other seven wives. Compared to Rukmini, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, Satya, Nagajit and all, they are all on a different level. They had relationship with Krishna. Any time you observe what Satyabhama has spoken about Krishna, it's on a different level. So what Satyabhama did was, as soon as Satrajit was killed, she got very upset. She kept the body and took the chariot and went to Hastinapur. went and told Krishna what has happened. Immediately Krishna got up with Balaram and got into the chariot and came back to Dwaraka. And then what happened was, Krishna has to find out who killed. It was a little bit of confusion there. Kridavarma was involved, Akrura was involved, and Shatadhanya was involved. Three of them were the mastermind in the whole thing. Actually, Shatadhanya did that, and Akrura and Kridavarma was behind it. They actually motivated him to do it. But Satyabhama was uncertain who was behind it. Satyabhama said that people are saying that Shatadhanya must have done it. Plus, as soon as they knew that Krishna was coming back, Akrura and Kridavarma left the place, went to Kashi, went to Benares and took shelter there under the king of Kashi. They were living there. So all this was happening, and Krishna had to find Shatadhanya, kill him and get this jewel back, Samantaka jewel back. So they ran. Balaram said, I'll help you. Together we will look for him, he said. When they got there, they were in Mithila at that time. They heard that Shatadhanya was gone to Mithila. So immediately Krishna got his chariot with Balaram and drove the chariot to Mithila. When they got there, they saw Shatadhanya there, but there was no Samantaka jewel there. So when this happened, Balaram started getting a bit suspicious of Krishna. This has happened few times. Balaram, Subhadra's marriage also, the same thing happened. Remember that, isn't it? So Balaram started thinking, Krishna is playing some game here. I don't know what it is. There's nothing can happen without Krishna's knowledge, first thing. And here he comes here and he says that Shatadhanya doesn't have the Samantaka jewel. So why has he come here? He should know where it is. And they beat up Shatadhanya there. And Balaram said, I'm not interested in this. Let me pull out of this whole thing. Balaram is a little bit like this, straightforward. Whereas Krishna is never like this. It's always like this. All the time, it's like that. Anything you like it, Krishna's way of doing things, never straightforward. So Balaram, knowing well Krishna's nature, says to Krishna, you go back on your own. I'll stay here in Mithila. So he stayed with me in Mithila with the king there, with Janaka, the king who was present there at that time. He stayed there with him. Krishna goes back. Krishna says, my dear brother, you stay here. I'll go back and let me find out what's the problem. So when this incident happened between Krishna and Balaram, through the spies, Dhritarashtra got the message, there is some misunderstanding between Krishna and Balaram. He took advantage of that. Who? This Dhritarashtra. So would you say whether he can see or he can see better than us? He can see far, much higher distance than what we can see. He could think in advance and see. Took the hand of his son, Duryodhana. Let's go now to Balaram and learn from Balaram. Let Balaram be your guru for teaching the club, how to use the club. And that is when Balaram became the teacher or guru of Duryodhana for learning the fighting with the club. That is how it happened like this. That Balaram accepted, naturally Balaram didn't take it very seriously at that time, accepted Duryodhana as his disciple, taught him everything what he knew about club fighting, and naturally a relationship was built up between that. This forced Balaram, this was of course Krishna was behind it, that Krishna didn't want Balaram during the war. Krishna wanted Balaram to go. Just like Vidura left from the palace, in the same way, Balaram also left the palace and walked out. Why? It makes Krishna's life a lot easier to make the decision. Otherwise, as an elder brother, you have to consult him every time before making any decision. He didn't want that. He wanted to do his crooked things, whatever he wanted to do in the war. And he wanted to avoid Balaram during the war. And he used this opportunity. That created this relationship between Krishna, Balaram and Duryodhana. And Balaram was in a predicament. On the one side he has got Duryodhana, his disciple. On the other side his brother Bhima. And between them the fighting was like this. They were like two serpents ready to bite each other any time. It's in the Bhagavad mentions like that, isn't it? So here this is what indicates to us This Dhritarashtra was not a stupid person. He could see things far ahead then and use the opportunity as and when it suits him. That. So here he says to Akrura, Akrura has given him all spiritual instructions in the 10 verses before that. He says to Akrura, he says to Dhritarashtra, Tasmal Logamimam Rajan Swapnamaya Manoratham. This world is nothing but Maya and completely affected by the mental chariot. You are Vichayam Alpana Alpmanam. You try to merge your soul with the Supreme Soul. Vichayam Alpana Alpmanam Samashando Bhava Prabho. With a full of respect as a king of Dhritarashtra, Akrura has been talking to him to talk about self-realization. That's what that verse is all about, self-realization. Vichayam Alpana Alpmanam. Come to the platform of the soul and its relationship with the super soul. He says to him, Atman Atmanam Vichaya. See that. And all these instructions Akrura has given to Dhritarashtra. You know what Dhritarashtra says, the answer? This is the most famous verse in the... Dhritarashtra has only spoken 4 verses in the Bhagavatam, not many. And it is one of those verses. Yo durvimarsha badhaya nijamaya edam srishtva gunan vibhajade tadanu pravishtaha Tasmai namo durava bhoda vihara tandra samsara chakra gadaye parameshwarayam. Tasmai yo durvimarsha padhaya nijamaya yedam. Dhritarashtra is saying to to Akrura, yo durvimarsha padhaya nijamaya yedam. Who got inside me and is making me to think like this? Under the 3 modes of material nature, nijamaya edam, and srishva gunan vibhajade tadanu pravishtaha. These 3 modes of nature, srishtvan gunan vibhajade, they create these differences inside me, the modes of nature. Yeah? They create these differences inside. This is my son, he is dear to me. This is the sons of Pandu, they are not as close to me as my son is. Who is creating this inside me? Dhritarashtra is asking Akrura. See, Dhritarashtra is not stupid. He is saying, who is doing this inside me? Yo durvimarsha padhaya nijamaya edam srishtva gunan vibhajade tadanu pravishtaham. Then, tasmai namu durava bhoda vihara tandram. To that person, and I know who is doing that, Krishna is doing that. So you go and tell him not to do that to me. Creating this in Tasmai Namo Bhagavade. To him I pay my obeisances. Dhritarashtra is saying, Durava Bodham Vihara Tandram Samsara Chakragadaye Parameshwarayam. That most difficult thing to understand, who is doing, I don't know who is doing. Actually, he is doing it. I know he is doing this. Durava Bodham, it's very difficult to understand. And by doing this to everyone in this world, he is making people to keep changing the body one after the other and suffering this world. So, am I responsible for this or he is responsible for this? That was the answer from Dhritarashtra to Akrura. Akrura came back and mentioned this to Krishna. That this is what Dhritarashtra has said. Krishna smiled. Krishna only could smile. Tasmai namo durava bhoda vihara tandram samsara chakragadaye parameshwaraya. What is samsara means? These kind of things, isn't it? This is my son, that's my enemy, this is my wife, that's somebody else. Like these differences in everyone. And when that gets strengthened more and more, our material existence gets worse. Is it not? When we move away from the truth is, as Krishna says, that Atma, the soul who is present in everyone, and that is our pure identity. We have fallen from that, identified with our own body. Next thing, we start identifying with the body extensions. In this way, we create division, division, division all the time in our life, and suffer from that, and that is called material existence. Samsara Chakragadeya Paramesh. Durava Bhoda Vihara Tandram. It's a Tandram, he says. Krishna, Dhritarashtra is saying here. It is a Tandram, Samsara Chakragadeya Parameshwaraya. And to that Parameshwara, Krishna, who is putting everyone into this and frying them in this way all the time. To him I pay my obeisances. Please go and tell him that, he said. To Akrura, Dhritarashtra says to Akrura. Akrura goes back and says this to him. So, that Krishna who is through the instrument of Maya, that's how Krishna does that, isn't it? And completely rotates us in this Maya. And to him I pay my obeisances here. And here the word Durava Bodham, Dhritarashtra uses this word. Durava Bodham means which cannot be understood by intelligence. Is it not? You can see that yourself. Sometimes you get so perplexed. Intelligence cannot solve the problem in certain situations in life. Isn't it? Just like here is a situation now. Dhritarashtra feels strong commitment to Duryodhana. On the other hand, Dhritarashtra knows very well Pandavas were on the right side. They were not asking, they were only asking for what was their right. But Duryodhana is there, is his son. He is caught up between the two. Dhritarashtra says to him, he said the same thing to Vidura also. I know that Pandu's children have the right to have the property. They should have the half of the kingdom. And Duryodhana should not. Duryodhana says, no, they should go. Attachment is there towards Duryodhana, being his own son. He couldn't say no to him. Why? It is his son. Now, he could not find a solution to this problem through his intelligence. What can intelligence do? In life, we all come across the same problem all the time, isn't it? We come across the same problem. On one side, our loyalty is somewhere. On the other side, intelligence is telling me it's a wrong thing to have this loyalty. But I can't do anything about it. Don't you feel the same trap everybody falls into at some time or the other in life? And others exploit us in the name of that loyalty. All this happens. We really don't know what to do at that stage, isn't it? Loyalty is somewhere, either to some institution or to some person. Somewhere you feel loyalty. Due to some reason you have a loyalty there. You feel your great gratitude or indebtedness towards that person or to an institution you feel. On the other hand, you see everything there is wrong. What's going on? Still, you are unable to break that loyalty and come out of it. People are put into all these kind of situations throughout life. Family life, it happens. In social life, it happens. Suppose somebody has helped you a lot in your life. And if that person has gone in the wrong direction, and you know that what he's doing is the wrong thing, but due to previous acquaintance and due to previous association, you still feel some obligations towards him. But intelligence tells you he is doing the wrong thing. You should not go with him. And there, intelligence cannot solve the problem. And that is what Dhritarashtra is saying here. Tasmai namo duravabhoda vihara tandram samsara chakragadaye parameshwaraya. That duravabhoda vihara tandram, this is Maya. This is Maya. Maya will lock you up in a state where your intelligence won't be able to get out of it. Intelligence won't be able to help you at that time. Just like you can see this all the time. It happens on a personal level. It happens on a national level. You can see among the countries also. One country goes to war with another country. Immediately the friends of this country say, so we will go with you to fight the war. It is between two countries they are fighting the war. But immediately you will see there will be some countries will go with one country and the another group of countries will go with the other one. They feel obligations there. Why? That is Maya. If you can notice this all the time happening, one country declares a war against another country, immediately you will see so many other countries joining them. They have not done anything to each other. But why they get involved? That's Maya. Because something inside they are finding it difficult. That loyalty or that obligations or whatever attachment they have, in that level, they make this decision to fight together. And then they will come out with an answer saying that, oh, we all want to protect the freedom and protect the democracy and all kinds of things. They'll come out after that, after they have made the alliance. It's the same whether it's capitalism or communism, it's the same thing. Same thing happens all the time. So, The point is, Krishna is saying here that Maya works like this with individuals, Maya works in the form of nations also in the same way. So here, that Krishna says here, and even after giving all these instructions to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra never thought that he wanted to stop the war. And nor he wanted to lock up Duryodhana in the prison. That was the advice given to him by Vidura. Vidura told him that you lock him up inside, then all the problem will be solved, he said. And he couldn't do that. So here, he says, mind and intelligence is not in my control. Who says this? Dhritarashtra says this to him. This war has already been decided, and there is some power behind all this who has already planned that this war must happen, and in the hands of that power, I am just an instrument. So, what can I do? He says. Who says this? Dhritarashtra says. So, he says here, therefore, I am doing whatever that force is forcing me to do, and he has manifested here as Kalam, Kalosmi. That's what Kalam is talking about. So, I am doing whatever I have been instructed by from inside. On the one side, he has come as the time factor to engage in the war. On the other side, he is instructing me not to get involved in the war. Look at the predicament Dhritarashtra is. Dhritarashtra is saying, he has come here as in the form of time. Kalosmi loga kshegra pravartha. That is that word saying, isn't it? Krishna has come here to conduct this war, manage the war. And on the other hand, he is telling Akrura to me, asking me not to fight this war. So what am I supposed to do? This is Dhritarashtra's predicament. That's why he says here, so, in all these situations, you will notice one thing. The one who wins is the one who gives you the instruction from inside. That you must remember that. Krishna is instructing from outside through Akrura. Krishna is instructing Dhritarashtra from inside as the super soul. In this, the super soul will always win. This is another thing to learn from this. It's not, Mahabharata was not spoken in a very lighter way to see that principles behind it. He says here, it's always the one inside who is giving the instructions will win. So, sometimes, mother tells the children, don't go to the movies. Don't go to the movies. They say like that to them. So, the children will say, no, I must go. Football match or whatever it is. They'll say, I must go, we must go. They'll say like that. So ultimately they will go because they will listen to that word from inside. Even if they listen to you, it will be only on a temporary relief. But it will be burning inside that desire to go and to watch the match or the movie or whatever it is. So it says, it is always, whatever instructions you have given him from outside, what that person from inside, he says, that is what it will eventually happen. So, sometimes you can see this in some families, they won't like their children to go to the temples and to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and things like that. The parents are not very happy. They'll say, you can do all that when you retire, not now. If you hear all these things now, what will happen? They are frightened about that. So they'll say, don't go. But at that time they'll say, no, why don't you go for a movie rather than going to temple? And they'll give an alternative to them. They'll think that they're doing a better job in that way. So in that case, which direction the vasana inside pulls him, that will win. Whatever direction the vasana inside pulls that person, that is a side it will win. So, Dhritarashtra knows this very well, this principle. He knows that very well. He says that he has come here to do something, but ultimately inside he is telling me to fight this war and nobody can do anything about it. Vidura also knows this. Vidura also knows this. Although Vidura instructed Dhritarashtra many times to stop the war, and although told him that this is the dharmam and all that, ultimately he told Dhritarashtra that that is very difficult, I know, but the best solution is lock up Duryodhana. Lock up Duryodhana. And that is the only solution for this. And I have told you this, he says, when he was born. You know that, don't you? When Duryodhana was born, there were so many bad omens in the atmosphere. The dogs were making some special sound. The foxes were making some, you know, unusual sound, which were all mentions in the Mahabharata. This all happened when Duryodhana took birth. And that was a very strong indication that some terrible personality has born. And that was Duryodhana. And Vidura, sensing that, told Dhritarashtra that you finish him right now, kill him now, and don't allow him to grow up. But that didn't happen. He grew up, and then he told him, you lock him up. But day by day, they could see that this problem what Duryodhana was going to create later. So, but when what we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, it was on that day when eventually, last minute, when Vidura was leaving the palace, he went up to Dhritarashtra and told him that if you don't lock him up, I have to leave this place. A final kind of warning to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra value Vidura a lot, because he knows Vidura is very knowledgeable and sensible person. So when he went to tell him outside, he was saying this, I've told you at the time when he was born to lock him up, but you didn't do that. And it is only because of this that this war is happening. Hearing this, Duryodhana comes onto the scene. These words of Vidura. And he says to him, who is this talking like this? Who says this? Duryodhana says this. Who is this Vidura? Vidura is the son of a servant maid, isn't it? You know Vidura's original. Although Vidura is his brother, Amba, Ambiga, Ambaliga, the three princes whom he was supposed to marry, and Dhritarashtra and Pandu were born from Ambiga and Ambaliga. Amba left saying that she wanted to marry Salva. But Ambiga and Ambaliga do so. And then when they refused to associate with Vedavyas, they sent a servant maid to have a relationship with Vedavyas, and from that servant maid, Vidura was born. Due to a curse for Mandavya Muni, Yamadharmaraja had to come as the Vidura. So that story is there. So he was saying that Vidura was very well respected by Duryodhana. And he says to him, this time I'm not going to let him go away free like this. So normally Duryodhana wouldn't have spoken very harshly with him. He had a lot of respect for Vidura. But this time he didn't show any mercy. He abused him. Abused him so strongly that Vidura left his bow and arrow there. What does that mean? Leaving bow and arrow means he's leaving his power behind. That I'm not involved in any fighting. That is the message. That he left his bow and arrow there and he walked out of that from that house. And he understood that nothing I can do anymore. All of them are going to die. This was Vidura's conclusion. So in the Bhagavatam, when that is spoken, it is mentioned like that, Kandagam Kandage Neva Dvayamabi Ishiduhu Samam. That Krishna has decided to make them fight. To fight this Kauravas and the Pandavas. And just like he used the Yadavas also in the same way and made them to fight each other. And similarly, ultimately, Yadavas were also, he used Yadavas to fight the war. And killing many, many big kings, Jarasandha and all that to fight, he was using the Yadavas. Yadavas were very powerful people. And most of them were wiped out from the earth by their power. But ultimately, Yadavas were left. And among Yadavas, he created a rift among them and made them to fight each other, and they destroyed them as well. That means, Kandagam Kandaganeva means that if you have a thorn in the leg, you take another thorn and take this out, and both go through, you throw it away. Normally, nowadays, people won't understand what we are talking about. In the olden days, people never wore shoes and socks and all kinds of things. People used to walk barefooted. So while walking, quite often, you will get some thorns from the plants or the trees. And once the thorn goes in, then you will know that something has stuck inside the flesh. So what you will do, you will get another thorn and pull this thorn out and both of them you throw it away. So that's what that means. Kandagam kandeneiva dvayamabhi ishiduhu samam, Bhagavatam says. That you take one thorn with another thorn and throw away both. And similarly, with Yadavas, he has created this fight, and then eventually Yadavas also. With Yadavas, he used them to kill others, and eventually among the Yadavas, he created fight and got rid of them as well. All Krishna's plan. And so he says here, Krishna has decided like that, so why should I unnecessarily feel depressed about this? And I will stay here peacefully. So the same is our option also. Either we can get involved in Maya and play our game as long as we like. Otherwise, you can retire from the Maya and carry on with the life in a peaceful way, and that choice Jiva has. Jiva has that choice. That either we can continue with the Maya and increase our material activities to the extent we want to increase it and go along with that, or knowing very well that this is all at the end going to create distress and pull out of this. And Vidura did exactly like that. And Vidura walked out from there, isn't it? Vidura walked out from there. How long? Do you know? How long Vidura walked away? 36 years. He stayed out of Hastinapur. His pilgrimage started from there, and for 36 long years, he didn't go back. And all these 36 years, he was traveling from one holy place to another holy place, one temple to another. You should read about Vidura at that time, his dress, his not caring for the body at all, not caring for the body at all. Grown all his hair was grown, never cut the nails. All hair was got became matted hair because of not caring for it. The body, because no attention was given. Remember, Vidura was a very royal family person. He had all the facilities in his palace. And at one point, Vidura is saying, I am disgusted seeing this Kshatriya's behavior. He says, they have everything what anyone wants in this world, opulence-wise and comforts-wise and the luxuries what they had. Vidura has not seen that anywhere else, what the Kauravas had, the luxuries, and the Pandavas had. In spite of all that, their ego is so strong to keep fighting each other like this, in spite of all what they had, all the material opulences. So here, what happened was, our Vidura walked out for 36 years. Remember this, 36 years is a long time in a person's life. He went away from there. And it is after these 36 years that he comes back to Yamuna River. Remember that in the third canto, when he meets Uddhava. By now, what has happened is, Uddhava had received Ekadasha Skandam from Krishna. And both of them met, and Vidura looked at Uddhava and stood there looking at him, seeing that form, Uddhava's form. What is the speciality with Uddhava now? Purnartho lakshidastena sneha prasarasam pluta, Bhagavatam says. When a person is self-realized, that change what has happened in Uddhava has actually impressed Vidura so much. He was looking at a person who is completely realized, and Vidura understood that. Because these 36 years, visiting so many holy places, holy people, discussing Shastram with them, as soon as he saw Uddhava, he recognized the change in Uddhava. Purnartho, words are very carefully selected. Sudeva Goswami says there, Purnartho lakshidasnena sneha prasarasam pluda. Purna artham, that means that completeness in him. Lakshidasena, Purnartho lakshidasnena sneha prasarasam pluda. That someone who has reached that final goal, who is complete, that completeness in Uddhava, Vidura has sensed by seeing him, by seeing him. When they embraced each other. And you know what that conversation, what happened in the third canto, that we will discuss it next time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.